Welcome to Hype episode 31. We got Josh here, Merriman, Kyle. Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. Once again, we're on video. I have a confession to make. I have to update my little subtitle here. It says sheetless. I now have sheets on the bed. So. We recorded a couple weeks ago with Selena because Merriman couldn't make it. And unfortunately, we lost the recording because Google Hangout stinks. But hopefully this time it works. So we apologize for the long gap in episodes, but now here we are back with another one, and we hope to get back into regular episodes now. So first of all, we are going to talk about a couple of stories that we missed on the last one. But we want to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy first, because it's really ended up being the big movie of the summer. It made a ton of money at the weekend box office this past weekend. I believe it's the most successful non-sequel since Iron Man. It's been a while. I read a stat on Twitter that doesn't count the Avengers. They're not considering the Avengers since
it's the
that.
Biggest August, I think.
Biggest for August, yeah. What did everybody think of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy? Josh, you've been covering it for a while, so how was it actually seeing it and hopefully living up to your expectations?
Well, I think there's a curse to covering so much of one film, but because you always see a lot of the footage, a lot of the best parts of the film, I think. But I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was much better in terms of writing quality than like we've seen in forever. Definitely.
Oh, we lost Scott.
But most.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry.
The sequels that Marvel have released just haven't met up to the first films. And Guardians was the first film that they really released in quite a while that's stood up to the Avengers or the first Iron Man. So I liked it a lot.
Merriman, Kyle, did you guys? Or Merriman, have you seen it yet?
Not yet.
Oh.
Well, it's funny because I was really mad at Andrew for seeing it early, but I've been traveling. I've been catching up on things. I'm seeing it this weekend. Only 1 week late, so cool. I will report back, but I'm excited.
How about you, Kyle? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. So good. I loved it. And I know nothing about these Guardians of the Galaxy or anything. I'm like, I don't know who these are. But, like, as someone who doesn't know anything about them, it was really easy to understand like what they're doing, how they got there, kind of like how they become the Guardians. So I really like it.
That's why people considered this so risky, because risky of a project for Marvel, because nobody knows the Guardians of the Galaxy, but then it ended up working so well and making so much money. So it was really interesting how that all worked out. Certainly good news, I guess, for DC, who, as we're going to talk about in a minute, I guess we'll talk about it right now. Yesterday, they decided to announce all this news 2 weeks after Comic-Con. They really could have done this at Comic-Con and blew the theater out of the water. First of all, they have announced that Batman vs. Superman is moving off the Captain America 3 date. No longer is Batman vs. Superman going to be released May 6, 2016. It's now going to be released March 25th, 2016. So now this is the second time that they've moved the film. It was supposed to come out summer 2015, then summer 2016, and now spring 2016.
And everyone keeps saying it's no longer a summer movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if that matters. I mean,
right.
I guess it matters some a little bit, but I mean, people—that's the type of movie that people go see no matter what. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's New Year's Day. People are going to see Batman versus Superman. This is the same date that Zack Snyder released 300. So
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a Zack Snyder.
Well, maybe it's a good luck charm.
Right. Hopefully. So then, in addition to that, they announced 9 additional DC films, but they did not share what the names of these films are, other than untitled DC film. That's what they used for all of them.
Like Marvel. It's like, what is the point of all this?
Right. I hope it's one movie with 8 sequels.
It's just Guardians of the Galaxy sequels, like, all the way.
Yeah, 9 sequels.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The first one's coming out August 5th, 2016, and these untitled films are being released all the way through June 16th, 2020. Somebody did the math. We now have, between 2016 and 2020, between Marvel, DC, and a couple other things like Sony, we now have 29 superhero movies in that period.
Wow. And how many focus on a lady?
Not one.
Hopefully Marvel is going to be announcing a Miss Marvel project, and if WB and DC aren't stupid, there's a Wonder Woman film in
this. Well, Sony just announced the other day. I don't know if we're going to talk about this or not.
We are, yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind then. Sony didn't announce anything. We'll wait.
Well, let's just talk about that now. I mean, Okay. Unless there's anything else. Well, here, let's talk about Comic-Con first. So at Comic-Con, Warner Brothers did announce they revealed a Batman versus Superman teaser. Josh, what happened in this? None of us attended, but
explain the what happened. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was really dark, and it was kind of, you know, that's been the whole mantra the whole time, is that every picture is like almost black, but the footage was Batman in this like battle armor, almost like military grade, and he walks up to his little spotlight, his little bat signal, and he pulls off like a tarp, or he pulls off something that's covering it, and when it shines up, there's like this big like thing blocking it, and lightning strikes, and Superman's like in the clouds blocking his signal. So it's really pretty cool, you know, because they make it like, you know, there's thunder and there's lightning, all this stuff, and then Superman's eyes are like glowing red, and then it pans back to Batman and his eyes start glowing white, which is something that's in one of the comics. And so it's just pretty neat to see like them standing off, because we've all been wondering like how they're going to do this Batman versus Superman thing, and apparently they're going to do it, you know, in some way. So it's interesting that they chose to use that. I think that's to quiet down, you know, why are you doing the Batman versus Superman thing, because it doesn't make sense. But I think that it worked.
Okay. So it doesn't make sense from like a comic standpoint either, like, or like, does it make sense? Like, I don't know if that's a thing.
I'm probably not nearly as familiar with comics as our fans or you guys even think. So I honestly wouldn't want to say.
Because it's just confusing.
I don't think it's probably not. I mean, they most of the times the comics that I've read, and it's very few, they normally pull from them. You know, it's never an adaptation. You know, it's just a lot of like graphical stuff, like the imagery that you'll see. The suit might be taken directly from, you know, a comic, but everything else is pretty much just made up.
They're doing this for the box office potential. That's it. I mean, they're not, you know, Zack Snyder or Warner Brothers wasn't reading through the comics one day being like, wow, this scene between Batman and Superman really speaks to me. No, they're just doing this for the box office potential. And really, it's what is going to kick off this series of additional 9 films. This is it for them. They can't screw this up. Which is why they're launching. They don't want to compete with Captain America, because America is going to beat them at the box office, most likely.
Yeah, it'll get really close. It made 700-odd million, or the sequel made 713 million or something this year. So,
and it was a great film.
And it was a great film. Yeah, that was the big thing. Was Captain the Winter Soldier was actually one of the sequels that actually was worth watching. So. It would probably be bad. Captain America 3 is probably the film you don't want to go against, as opposed to, like, I don't know, Thor 3, or, you know, any of the other ones, except for the event you wouldn't want to go against, you know, the Avengers or anything.
But, and now not Guardians either.
Yeah, not Guardians either, because it's got such a, you know, I wasn't very familiar with Chris Pratt prior to this, and he just blew me away. You know, obviously I know why everybody loves him now, you know, and he's an incredible actor, and I think that he'll be a main focus for the future, and Zoe Saldana was great.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I haven't caught Chris Pratt fever. everybody's talking about Chris Pratt. You know, he's so attractive. He's so great. I liked him in Guardians of the Galaxy, but I am not obsessing over him like everybody else is.
Oh, well, he's just maybe he's not your type because he's sexy as hell.
So. Well, he's definitely not my type.
You have to admit that he's attractive.
I think that.
Yeah,
he's attractive.
I think that he has the charisma that is different. You know, I think mm-hmm. it's almost like a boyish thing where we're so used to so many, a lot of the heroes are older guys, you know, a lot of like Iron Man's older, Thor is who knows how old. So a lot of them, you finally have a young guy who we see his story as a young kid, you know, we can kind of relate to his story, you know, if you've had troubles in your past or whatever, and you see his story unfold a little bit. I think that helped me relate to his character, and I think not knowing much about him, or I mean, I knew about him from like Parks and Rec, and just not knowing much about him helped because I was like, I don't know anything about this guy, but he seems pretty awesome, and you know, the movie looks great, and so it really helped me stay in the movie, I think.
Yeah, and just like seeing the difference between Parks and Rec and Guardians, like, oh my goodness, people are like, is this the same like dude? Because
before he got in shape.
He got so ridiculously in shape.
He looks even better in shape in Jurassic World. Have you seen pictures for that?
Yeah. I'm so excited for Jurassic World.
They've shown like 4 pictures, and where Andrew's like, I can't wait.
I'm so excited. So speaking of Comic-Con, Merima and I were at the Universal panel waiting for Marvel, and I start to get in line for the bathroom, and I'm in line, and then I hear Universal at the very end of their panel, Universal and Legendary, be like, and now a surprise or something like this. And so I start hearing these sounds. It sounds like it's like a forest or something in this thing that they're unveiling on these huge screens. So I leave the bathroom line, which is really long, by the way. And I go and watch this. And then you see King Kong beating his chest. I'm like, come on, guys. You had a perfect opportunity to debut some footage from Jurassic World. And instead, you tease this new King Kong movie.
That is strange.
That no one cares about.
Yeah. No one cares about it, and a lot of people.
There was a lot of cheering in that hall for a lot of those things that we did not join in on.
Yeah, we were just like, is it Marvel time yet?
Yeah.
We have beers waiting for us at the fridge.
Yeah.
So as was alluded to by Josh, it looks like we do have a female superhero movie coming up from one of the studios, and this is going to be the first, I guess you could say, modern era superhero movie. We don't know what character, but Deadline reported earlier this week that Sony is planning a female superhero Spider-Man spinoff for 2017. So what do we know about this, Josh?
This was a report from Deadline, I believe, and they basically assured us that Sony was mining their character library for a female superhero. Now, the problem that comes up is Spider-Woman is the biggest one, but it's so much like Spider-Man that you're like, you know, I don't know. And I've heard a lot of people say that Sony might not actually own the rights to Spider-Woman. So Fox may own her. Don't know why. We don't really know. The biggest one right now I'm hearing is Black Cat. Black Cat is Felicity Jones. So there's someone going to yell at me.
Yeah. Felicity Jones.
Felicity Jones.
And she showed up in the last film in Spider-Man 2. So everybody's thinking that Black Cat is basically the only character that they're going to go with, and they've already established her in the previous film. I don't know that that's true because normally you might pick I can't remember who plays her, but you would probably choose an actress, you know, a little bit bigger actress if you're planning on your biggest or your first female superhero.
Yeah.
But anything can happen. The good thing is someone's finally realizing that we need a female superhero. I think that it's possible Marvel could still beat Sony to the punch, but 2017 is coming up quick, you know, so Marvel better get their game together. I think Sony's going to beat them. Because Sony, the reason Sony's doing this is they, not only because we need more, you know, more female superheroes, especially solo films, but Sony is struggling big time. Spider-Man didn't do nearly as well as they were hoping, and they don't know what to do with their characters. They have nowhere to go, as opposed to Marvel and DC. While DC's not as successful as Marvel, they actually have a lot of characters they could develop. And so that'll be the difference here.
Can't believe we have to wait for Sony to like get their act together.
I know.
Like, of all it's the studios. So it's so depressing.
I don't even trust Sony to launch a new female
superhero. Yeah, me either. I don't want them to have anything to do with it.
I mean, there's been a lot of debate lately over whether or not Marvel is actually planning a female superhero movie because of comments from Marvel president Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
So, time will tell. There's been rumors that perhaps in the Avengers Age of Ultron there will be a Ms. Marvel cameo, but we'll see.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Marima, what do you have any like? Do you have any people on your wish list you want to see for a female superhero movie? Agent Carter.
Oh well, if they're gonna do one, like they could easily do a Black Widow one like next week. Mm. And the argument for that was, oh, but Winter Soldier is basically Black. No, it's not. Like, just stop talking, please, because I'm gonna stop giving you my money. So, like, easily they could do that. But yeah, I think everyone would be really excited to see Captain Marvel be introduced and yeah. And have that happen. But like the thing is, if Marvel wanted to do it, they could have done it. And all of the talk about, oh, we don't know like if it would be well received, or oh, we just don't have the resources to dedicate to it. Like, no, you have plenty of money. That's really not the issue. You know, if they decided to do it and committed to it, we would have had it by now. But it's obviously not a priority for them, which is really, really disappointing.
Yeah.
So hopefully they get the act together. And same with DC, like hopefully we get that Wonder Woman movie when the kind of Justice League thing starts to happen, because it's so depressing that we have to get this excited about Sony maybe making a Black Cat film, possibly, yeah. Because they've run out of characters. You know, like, that's really the reason. It's like, well, we've done Spider-Man, kind of don't have any other copyrights, so I guess we'll make a lady film.
We have?
Well, they have, well, yeah. They're doing all their villain spinoffs as well.
It's the worst. Not
that makes it any better, but
it's basically the worst. So
yeah, but I agree with you with Marvel. I think that they feel like they planned too far ahead originally, and now they've screwed up. Like, they don't have the release dates, and so they don't know do we shift these films around that we've already set, and you know they're probably being written, or do we inject a female superhero, which everyone clearly wants to see. You know, I think like you brought up Wonder Woman, and I think that's probably the one that everybody is most interested in seeing, but we've never seen Gal Gadot play Wonder Woman. So I'll be interested to see how she does as Wonder Woman before I see a solo film from her. I think there's some other female actresses that could do a smashing job as opposed to Gal Gadot, but smashing. We'll see what she does.
I don't care. I kind of don't care who it is. Like, I just want them. Right, because it seems like everyone in the world wants a female superhero film except for Kevin Feige, who, like, actually has to give it the go-ahead. Yeah, I kind of hate him after the interview that he gave this week.
He's like, we don't really need female.
He was like, we hope that we make one. And it's like, what do you mean you hope? That's your decision. That's your job to decide to do that or not.
He's like, I've planned till 2097, but I don't know.
I can't talk about it. It just gives me a headache. So
we're going to interview him one day. So don't call him a douchebag just yet.
You're not a douchebag, Kevin Feige.
Let me do it, please. I will do the interview.
Well, you know what I want? A Fantastic Beasts trilogy. Yes. And jumping back to that... release date news. We found out that WB, in addition to these 9 DC films, they also scheduled 2 WB event films. And funnily enough, they fall on the same day of the year, this like third week of November date, that the first Fantastic Beasts movie is already scheduled for. So we know the first one's coming out November 18, 2016. Now they've scheduled these 2 mystery films, event films, for November 16, 2018 and November 20, 2020. So it looks, my guess is that these are Fantastic Beasts 2 and Fantastic Beasts 3, because we already heard from the New York Times that Warner Brothers wants to make this a trilogy. So if they're spacing them perfectly out 2 years away from one another, this would add up.
It makes sense.
I think it's going to be Harry Potter sequels.
Oh.
Harry Potter sequels.
Oh, yeah.
Deathly Hallows Part 3.
Yeah.
I really want this to be... This is another one of those things, like, we haven't seen anything from this. We know nothing about it, but, like, it just seems so exciting.
Yeah. And, I mean, the first film is only 2.5 years away. It's not that far.
Right, so please cast someone. Seriously. Tell us who it is.
Cast somebody already.
Yeah.
I was expecting, and I've written about this and I've spoken about this a lot, that they were going to make these movies 1 year apart from one another. So the fact that they're making them 2 years apart from one another is interesting. Hypeable movie writer Louis brought up to me maybe J.K. Rowling wants more time in between films to write them, which makes sense if you consider the fact that she's also writing a bunch of other stuff right now. We already know she wants to do like 7 more Cormoran Strike books. And God knows what else she has planned. So it makes sense if they're spacing these out 2 years apart from one another.
Yeah, it gives them a little more flexibility.
And J.K. Rowling could probably tell them, anything, and they would listen.
Yeah.
You know what it makes me feel like? It makes me wonder, what if in between each Fantastic Beasts movie, they have other Harry Potter spinoffs planned, just like Disney is doing with Star Wars.
That would be so good.
Yeah, like the Quidditch Through the Ages stuff, which they also bought trademarks for.
Give me a Marauders film. I don't care about anything else.
Oh, that would be so good.
Or a Founders one. Oh, it'd be so good. Like Harry Potter Origins. And then...
I don't think it's happening, but it reminded me of Star Wars. Episode 7, 8, and 9 are 2 years away from one another.
Yeah.
And then in between those, they're doing other spin-offs. Star Wars.
Spin-offs. Oh, yeah. They're definitely not going to do it, but it would be really cool.
It's not happening, but yeah.
You guys say that now. I'm hoping.
Yeah, well, you're the Harry Potter whisperer, so we'll see.
Well, we're talking about all these movies we don't even know exist yet. Let's talk about one that's coming out. Yeah. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 is only a few months away. We got the first trailer. It debuted at Comic-Con. Lionsgate did this awesome thing with Samsung. They opened this Capitol Gallery. You didn't even need a Comic-Con pass to go into it. You just had to wait in a line. So it felt like you were at Comic-Con. They had Haymitch's elixirs. They had PETA's bakery, whatever. All this food was free. You just had to wait in line.
And order it on the Samsung tablet.
Yes, you had to use a Samsung tablet. They had a photo opportunity. You could sit in President Snow's actual chair used for those 2 teaser trailers.
Oh, wow.
It was so well done. They did such a great job. And then you go into the separate room. You sit in like these orb chairs. And you watch the trailer on a Samsung tablet. It was the first time anybody was seeing the trailer. You couldn't see it online or anywhere else. You had to be in this room to see it. And so then the following Monday, they released the trailer, and it was great. But it disappointed some people, I think. They were expecting something bigger. I don't know in what way.
It was really short, is what it was. It was very very teasy, and I know it's a teaser trailer, but like it was just very okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, maybe there wasn't a big payoff in the trailer.
I don't think there was a huge payoff. There wasn't anything like, oh my god, like it was all really cool, and seeing Katniss be like, yes, I will fight, it was really awesome, but there wasn't like an oh my god moment, I don't think.
I thought that was great.
Favorite parts?
Natalie Dormer.
Oh, yeah. I could have told you that for her.
My favorite part was when the Avengers plane showed up in the trailer at the beginning.
Yeah. Little subtle marketing for movie next year. I love the discussion between Coin, BT, and Plutarch at the very beginning.
I was really sad. I know. Seymour Hoffman. Was that anyone that felt a little sad?
No, I totally felt sad.
It is
a bit rough seeing him, but
I know it's gonna be tough seeing him.
We do get 2 more Mockingjay movies. Plus, he's in a bunch of other movies.
He's in another great movie right now. That's it. I forgot the name, I tell you.
The
Most Wanted Man. Sorry, that's it.
Yeah. It actually, I thought my first 2 times watching the trailer, I got a sense of scale with this movie. I got the feeling that this movie has purpose being split into two. Just it's going to be this big build up to a war, just like Deathly Hallows Part 1 was. And
but better.
Deathly Hallows better?
No, Mockingjay is going to be so much better.
Why? Why do you say that?
Deathly Hallows was terrible.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't like the Mockingjay book.
Yeah, but I think I feel like Mockingjay is the only one that they've, like, I know we make jokes about it, but I feel like it's the only one they've split that it actually makes sense, because a lot of people's criticism of the book was that the end section of it was way too rushed. So it kind of makes sense to give it more space and build it out more. I don't know. I love the Hunger Games. I won't say anything bad about it.
I trust the studio on this one, because the Catching Fire totally won me over after hating the first film. So I wouldn't be excited for this film at all if it wasn't for Catching Fire. So it's pretty neat to like totally transform, you know, my opinion about something.
And then just yesterday, the first character posters for the film were released. I'm going to put a link in the doc right now so you guys can see those if you haven't already. But we see several characters. We see Plutarch. We see Haymitch. We see Effie, who is looking very not Effie. She's in the gray District 13 clothes that everybody else is wearing.
She looks like we do when we wake up to do this.
We also see Coin. We see Finnick. We see BT, and that's everybody. So I was a bit underwhelmed by these posters, but, you know, all the studios do this these days. They just put one character on a poster, and then, like, I don't get the message of these posters. I'm not sure why these exist.
I think the message is, like, they're District 13's prisoners at this point, and it's
just put them in the corner.
Yeah, and it just kind of gives you this feeling that they're like, that they're kind of put away, and they're like not really like in control of the entire situation at the moment, or at least that's what makes it look like to me.
That makes sense, because they are gloomy. Haymitch is particularly depressing. He's looking down, and he's got his hands in his pockets, and he's wearing that cap. But yeah, so like I said,
yeah,
the biggest surprise,
like he like in the first film, I was like the hair and this attitude and stuff, and then after that, I started liking his, he's more cerebral than a lot of the other characters.
Yeah, the acting in this series, top to bottom, I've really loved.
They I don't know if they just lucked out or what. But they have some of the best actors in this film, and Julianne Moore, and just everyone's good.
So, like I said, the biggest surprise here was Effie. I mean, she's still kind of dressed up in her typical Effie stuff. You can see she's wearing heels. She's wearing some things around her arms. She did a little doodad with her thing on her head. I don't know what that is. Nah. Marima, what's the name of that? Do you know?
Doodad. What?
I don't know. The bow on her head, is there a name for that?
What, like a headscarf? What do you want from me? Because I'm a girl, I know what these weird things are.
Because I don't wear them. I thought maybe you do.
Well, it's no Star Wars cap, but she's trying.
I think I saw you wear a towel like that when you were staying at my apartment.
Probably, yeah. It's one of my best fashion statements.
Yeah. Everybody put on your hipster caps. We're now going to talk about Lord. She has just announced that she's going to be not only writing the first and performing the first single for Mockingjay, but she's also going to be curating the soundtrack, meaning that she has selected the artists and I guess their songs that are going to be on the Mockingjay Part 1 soundtrack. What was your guys' reaction to this? Was it cool?
I was so excited. I was just like, yes, because it seems like the perfect type of film for her to do the soundtrack for, because her like whole style is kind of like, not like necessarily gloomy, but like kind of like darker in general than a lot of like pop artists and stuff. And so it's very like her voice is very fitting to the whole idea of Mockingjay. So I think it's rock.
She said in a statement, curating the soundtrack for such a hotly anticipated film was a challenge, but I jumped at the chance. She's actually a really big fan of Mockingjay, or The Hunger Games on a whole.
Who isn't?
And Francis Lawrence, the director, was quoted in this announcement too. He said, "I was immediately struck by how she so innately understood what we, as both fans and filmmakers, were trying to accomplish with the film. Her immense talent and keen understanding of Mockingjay's characters and themes not only have enabled her to create a song of her own that completely captures the film's essence, but her insight and passion for our project makes her the perfect creative force to assemble the other songs on the soundtrack." So Frances Lawrence, apparently a big Lord fan.
Damn, isn't she like 14?
Yeah. So she's like 16, I think.
That's funny.
She's more successful than all of us.
I know. It makes me sick. So anyway, good for her. I'm looking forward to this. In a different interview with Billboard, she said she's going to be getting artists who we haven't heard of in a while. So I think that's interesting.
So like Backstreet Boys? What does that mean?
I know. I'm hoping for like Chumbawamba to write a sequel.
Chumbawamba.
Yeah.
Wow.
They always do a good job though with like their decisions on this film or this franchise.
They do. The soundtracks are great.
The soundtrack, everything's good. Yeah.
I mean, the Twilight soundtracks were great. In all seriousness. They had a great lineup of artists. Obviously, the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, everybody's been loving.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's interesting how soundtracks have been such an important part of films these days.
Fault in Our Stars, that was a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's all we have to say about Mockingjay. In some other book-to-film YA news, this is a story we talked about on the last episode that we lost. Allegiant Part 1 has nabbed the Maze Runner screenwriter. Kind of interesting crossover news there. No word yet if this is really good news or not, because we haven't, at least us in this group, have not seen the Maze Runner. But we do have a couple of writers who did see it at Comic-Con. They screened the whole movie at Comic-Con, and they loved it. So we'll see if this was good news or not. Time will tell.
Seems encouraging.
Yeah.
Comic-Con people don't love. They just scream.
Yeah, that's true. Comic-Con is a bad place to get a genuine review.
We think it's going to be good.
Although the panel for Comic-Con for Vampire Diaries was nearly as loud as the panel was at PallyFest for some reason. Because at PallyFest, it was just deafening when people... all those little teenage girls screaming.
Yeah.
So.
But speaking of Allegiant, we're talking now about Insurgent. We learned at Comic-Con that Shailene Woodley, so she cut her hair to be Hazel in The Fault in Our Stars. We all know this. It was a whole big thing. So we assumed that she was going to be wearing a wig like Jennifer Lawrence is in Mockingjay, because Jennifer Lawrence cut her hair as well, just because she just wanted a new do. So, but now we found out that Shailene Woodley is keeping her short hair for Allegiant, and she's not wearing a wig. And she said in an interview at Comic-Con that she actually spoke to the Insurgent director and said, "Hey, I don't want to wear a wig." And she said, quote, "I think wigs always look wiggy, especially in an action movie. We're running so much and doing so much, I think. Technically, a wig would have looked quite shitty." So,
Ooh. Is that a dig at the Hunger Games?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, wait a second. Do you remember? And I wrote this in my article. Do you remember or do you know that Jennifer Lawrence is wearing a wig? Maybe it's different because Jennifer Lawrence's hair or Katniss's hair is in a braid, so it's easier for action movies, whereas Triss's hair, it's like free-flowing, going everywhere.
I can't believe we're even talking about this.
I thought it was an interesting story.
No, I mean, that's why it's weird that it even like is a story, especially because everyone was like freaking out about it, you know, because it was bad enough that she didn't have like
short hair in the movie, or in the book.
Is that true?
Okay.
Yeah, but not like that short.
No.
Yeah. So I kind of wish that they kept this a secret and then they unveiled it in a first look photo. Then everybody would have been like, oh my god.
That would have
been like last time when they revealed that, was it the knife throwing scene? And everyone was like, oh, her hair's the wrong color. Oh my god. So like,
Harry's eyes aren't blue.
Yeah. It could be the annual freak out over Triss's hair. It would be perfect.
Anyway, I mean, I I like her short hair. I think it would be pretty cool to see it in an Insurgent. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to all the promo photos now. I had something else to say about this, but now I'm forgetting. So, Insurgent in theaters this March. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug's extended edition is coming, and it's got basically a whole other movie in deleted scenes. We found out this week there is going to be 25 minutes of additional footage. This is in addition to an Unexpected Journey's deleted scenes, which were what? Also 25 minutes-ish, Josh?
I can't remember.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It was
normally pretty close. Peter Jackson normally does about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up right now. But, you know, by the time we get the Battle of the Five Armies extended edition, this is going to be like an hour and a half of deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine how excited you'd be if you actually liked the Hobbit film.
Yeah, like the Lord of the Rings, there was like, there was another hour added to the last film, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's somewhat encouraging because it's like, well, at least he cut something out of it. But at the same time, it's like, who would ever want to watch this?
Yeah, it's like, I wish I could be excited about this, but I don't care.
Yeah. And although you know, I am excited for the last film.
There are definitely going to be people who want to watch both. Like they're going to be like, okay, Marathon, Lord of the Rings Extended Edition and Hobbit Extended Edition.
Oh, my God. You'd be in your house for, like, 2 days.
Oh, man.
I've done a Lord of the Rings Extended Edition Marathon, and it's like you see the sun again, and your eyes are like, what is happening? I can't deal with being outside. So
it turns out there was only 13 minutes of extended footage on Unexpected Journeys.
Well, edition, there could have been a little more cut out of that film, so...
let's see. What else
do
we have?
It must be 3 hours. That's what Peter Jackson's mantra is. It must be 3 hours long.
Right, so An Unexpected Journey was pushed past 3 hours, just like Desolation of Smaug is with their own extended footage, so...
Yeah, I remember in the first, the Return of the King, he won the Oscar for the film. They won, like, what was it, 12 Oscars? And then he went back. He was like, this is what you do. He's like, you win an Oscar for the best film, and then you go back and re-edit the film with the new footage and finish it.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to talk about this or care. Bridesmaids director Paul Kevin Feige, whatever. Yep. He's in talks to take on Ghostbusters reboot with female leads. I think this is a cool idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Variety reported this. I think it would be pretty entertaining to watch. I don't know.
Yeah. I like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I liked Bridesmaids. I like females. It's all good with them.
Okay, so buy your ticket now.
I like that he tweeted out. He's like, it's interesting how making a movie with men in lead roles is normal, but making one with women in lead roles is a gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people were saying it's gimmicky, but obviously.
Some people are idiots.
Yeah, obviously the internet.
Yeah.
The internet.
In some other book-to-film news. This just kind of bugs me. So The Vampire Academy, based on a book by Rochelle Mead, they released a film last year, did not do well at all. Like, but there's a very passionate fan base. So now the Vampire Academy producers have launched an Indiegogo campaign. Indiegogo is like Kickstarter, for a sequel, Frostbite. Of course, this is a book series, so there's potential to make multiple films. The Indiegogo campaign has to raise $1.5 million in 30 days, and then they will move ahead with the sequel. So far, they're a day and a half into fundraising. They've raised $100,000, so only 7% of their goal. So I don't think this is going to raise the $1.5 million.
No, hell no. Their top like package on Indiegogo is a $10,000 Queen Bee package that lets you have you come out and like meet the actors and then have a walk-on role.
but I was reading this. They don't even pay for your travel. So in addition to paying $10,000 to get on set, you have to buy your flight to Australia or Europe, assuming you don't live there, and stay at, you know, get a hotel. Nobody has claimed this $10,000.
It's basically like package. This is like $14,000 package.
Exactly.
Exactly. But like, to be fair, that's the standard thing with like Kickstarter, Indiegogo perks. They usually don't pay for that.
Oh, really? Like,
travel.
I thought Kickstarter always does big.
No.
Like Veronica Mars and them, they always sent people.
No, sometimes they'll pay like put you up in a hotel or something, but they're not going to be like, we'll pay your flight from whatever strange country you happen to live in.
Yeah. Well, that is.
They're grasping at straws here. It's like, it's sad to see like a movie try to do this. Like I like normal other people, like, oh well, like if you pay this much, we'll do you this much. But like $10,000, like please pay us $10,000. We have a really cool perk for you.
I don't know why it bothers you guys so much.
I don't like this stuff anymore.
Why does it bother you so much?
It bothers me because the filmmakers are squeezing more money out of their fans. You're basically you're paying to have the movie made. That's ridiculous. If you're not going to make the movie yourself,
like proceeds, it's like if you get a percentage of the film's proceeds.
Yeah, where's my cut for investing in this film?
But they're not like breaking into your house and like stealing the money from under your couch cushions. Like you're donating money because you are excited about the project.
That's what a studio does. You know, like they say, they get to a director and they're like, well, we'll spend, you know, $100 million on this film. And they expect their $100 million back at least, you know, times three.
Right. But so what they're...
Like,
but
for fans, they're just kind of being like, ah, we're just taking your money and we're going to send you like a thing with a poster with a, you know, a signature on it. And it just seems like lame.
I don't know. You're acting like fans will be surprised at the end because like, oh no, all we got is this postcard. Like the whole thing about this campaign, that as far as I understand it, is they're not. It's not like Veronica Mars or like Zach Braff's thing or whatever, where they ask you to pay for it. The aim of it is to show that fans want the film by raising this amount of money. Like, the budget is not $1.5 million.
No,
it's a contribution.
I don't think that's true.
So, I guess, like, if the fans are that excited about it and they want to do it and it happens, then, like, good for them. I'm not going to contribute anything to it. I don't care about Vampire Academy, but I don't begrudge them for doing it. I don't think it's exploiting the fans by doing it, because if they really want the film, then they'll choose to support it. Like, they're making a decision to do that. So...
But that's how they're exploiting them. They're you want a film? You want a film?
You gotta pay for it.
It's not, because otherwise they wouldn't get a film. Like, it's not like they're saying, oh, we were going to make it, but instead we're going
to... pulling on someone's strings of like what they care about to get money out of them. That's exploiting.
I don't think it is. Because they're not saying, like, we were going to do it, but we changed our mind. Unless you give us money, we're going to give you
the film.
That's
what they did. We were going to do it. We couldn't make enough money on our own, so we're going to ask you for your money to do
it. I mean, I think it's because the first film did incredibly poorly.
They were going to do it. We didn't make enough money, so they were like, well, we didn't have enough fans last time, but maybe we'll have it this time.
Well, I don't... I mean, I disagree.
So they should know that it's a failed series and not try to take money from the fans, like more money from the fans.
I mean, yeah, and I just worry the budget. Let's say they did raise this money. It isn't looking like it, but the budget is going to be so low on this film to make sure that they do make money, that the Weinstein Company does make money. The first movie made $15 million worldwide, so the budget, I mean, maybe $3 million.
It'd be a shoestring for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not going to be a good film, but... I don't know.
You're just saying if people think like they want to see it and they're willing to pay the money, then you're okay with it.
Yeah, because they're not stealing their parents' credit cards. Like, you're not talking about an 8-year-old buying the $10,000 project.
I mean, the fans' age range are, you know, it's somewhat
is like my age and a little younger. But yeah, there's a huge fan base. It's like young adult. It's Kyle's and my age. You guys are a little old, but
I was thinking. Right. I was thinking like 13 and up.
Yeah, no. I was thinking they were 13-year-olds.
No, yeah. Vampire Academy has a really huge fan base.
Did say all the little girls screaming at that convention?
Well, Anyway, no, I was being enough serious. Of that.
Yeah. Anyway, they're not going to make it, so it doesn't matter. Like, they're not going to raise money, so it's kind of don't a moot really point. Conversation.
What if they launch a new Kickstarter after this, being like, all right, can you guys raise $500,000?
Just give us anything, please. Yeah.
Some guy's trying to pocket the money. He's like, yeah.
Give us something. In better book-to-film news, I'm so excited about this. Paper Towns now has a release date. It's actually less than a year away. It's coming out July 31st, 2015. They haven't started filming yet. We don't even have a director. But hey, let's schedule it anyway for less than a year from now. I think it's smart to release it so soon after The Fault in Our Stars, because we know that the John Green fan base is alive and well right now, so let's turn this film around as quickly as possible. It won't take them long to film. It's not like a CGI heavy film or anything, so I think this is I don't think they're rushing it or anything.
That would be amazing. They should turn it into like some huge CGI production.
Avatar.
Please.
Wasn't Paper Towns the one that you said you wanted done, Marima?
Yeah, I can't remember. I really like Nat Wolff, so maybe that's what I said. I'm excited to see him in it, because I think he was really, really good in Fault in Our Stars and in like everything I've seen him in.
So I remember we were talking about John Green books, and you were just like, there was a couple that you were like, no. You know, and then there was one that you used to see.
Yeah, well, like, I'm not a huge fan of Paper Towns, honestly, but I think it will depend a lot on who they cast as the female lead to pull it off, because she's a little... she's an interesting character, like, not my favorite character, and I think other people have some issues with her as well, but it kind of depends on how the actress will pull that off. So, we'll wait and see.
I just bought the book the other day, I'm going to start reading it soon.
Cool, so you'll have finished it by July 31st, 2015.
Yes.
Oh, no.
No, that's too soon. Definitely not.
I'm trying to read books at a faster clip now.
Yeah, that's good. I hope I can inspire you to read faster with my merciless teasing.
The only problem is I'm so addicted to Mario Kart 8 right now that that like always takes priority. Read Mario Kart 8.
See, that's what I've been. That's why I was so bad at it. I obviously need to spend more time playing Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, instead of reading books.
Yeah, what a weirdo.
But another John Green news, the Looking for Alaska movie has named its director and screenwriter. So this is interesting. We already have the director for Looking for Alaska, but no date. And we have Paper Towns with a date, but no director.
So did we have this last time? The film that you just mentioned? Alaska, whatever?
Looking for Alaska?
Yeah, Looking for Alaska.
Did we talk about this on the last episode, you mean?
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it on the one that got deleted.
That got deleted. Sorry about that.
So
last episode.
This is going to be directed and written by Sarah Pulley. I can't say she's very well known, but she's done some great projects. John Green said in a tweet, "I'm a huge fan of Sarah's movies, and her ideas about Looking for Alaska are really wonderful, and I am all caps so very excited." she wrote the 2012 documentary Stories We Tell, if you're familiar with that. So when do we think this could be released now? So obviously they're not going to want to put it close to Paper Towns. Even this is a different studio. But could it be as far away as 2016?
Maybe they're pushing for the end of next year.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't think they would want to drag it out too much, because this is like the John Green era.
Right. You know? They don't want to.
I'm surprised there's two different studios. You would think you would assign like a deal with, you know, studio.
Well, they've had the rights for ages, and they just haven't done anything. Oh, okay. They've had them for like 9 years or something, and they were like, "Oh, this book, no way!" And then Fault in Our Stars made a lot of money, and they were like, "Guys, let's make this book."
So many people have said no to Looking for Alaska, and now they're like, "Yeah, it's amazing."
Right. Basically, so I think they'd want to like cash in on that hype before it kind of dies down, and someone else comes in.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, if they got this rocking and rolling soon, I mean, they could maybe do it in March or April 2015, and if not, then I think they got to wait till maybe November 2015, but then they're kind of in Hunger Games territory, so
Yeah, they could. I mean, it's going to be such a short shoot. It's all on like in one location. It's a little compact thing. So once they cast it, the actual shooting time is not going to be long. So maybe they could push it for the start of next year. It's not like it's going to need a lot of post-production time.
Yeah, I think Andrew said that, like, a lot of these films don't need any CGI, which is what takes the year, you know, to make. So we could see a lot of these films a lot sooner than what we normally see other films. Like, you know, it doesn't take 2 years to make, you know, like it does with Hunger Games or Guardians of the Galaxy, something like that.
Is there actually a script for Alaska yet? Because I feel like that's what is going to take the time.
I think they...
Not yet.
I mean, yeah, this news only came out in June.
Right, so... I feel like that's what's going to take the time now.
Yeah.
Who needs a script?
Right, you just read the book.
Improv.
Marvel movies never have scripts when everybody signs on.
Right. Yeah.
And they don't have any
out of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Which so,
is kind of scary and kind of amazing that they're able to make good movies from it.
Yeah. Evangeline Lilly at Comic-Con, she was like, "Yeah, we start filming in 2 weeks. I even read a script, but Ant-Man."
Oh, for Ant-Man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They don't have scripts. It's weird.
I couldn't believe they let her say that.
She says whatever she wants.
That looks kind of bad.
So, speaking of Comic-Con, I thought we could peruse the best of Comic-Con list that we did at Hyperbole, anything worth discussing. We found out that Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to be released July 28th, 2017. So, that was some big news. We talked about most major things. The Hobbit trailer came out. Marima, so the Hobbit trailer came out, and you're actually really excited for this third film now.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good. As people may have been aware, I did not enjoy the first two films. But, I mean, Return of the King was the best of the trilogy, and I think Peter Jackson does do, like, the climax and a big battle really well. Like, they're always really good. And I think maybe what I didn't like about the first two was that it was just like 6 hours of like hobbits and dwarves running around not doing anything. So even though it's basically has nothing to do with the book at this point, as far as a film goes, I think it looks really cool and I'm kind of really excited for it. Don't hate me, Josh, but I'm into it. I'm into the last one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope they do a good job with it, because who knows if we'll...
I'm going to be so disappointed if it's bad.
Who knows if we'll ever go to Middle Earth again, if we don't.
Yeah. Well, it's in New Zealand. You can just go on set.
Okay.
So, yeah, he'll be like, no more Hobbit films, but we're making a Silmarillion trilogy. Like, oh, no. Please stop.
There was some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. casting announced. We won't get into that, though. True Blood cast made their final appearance. I would say it was a pretty good Comic-Con overall. I got to talk face-to-face to the Walking Dead stars, which I haven't done before, so that was really exciting for me. Kyle and Marima, anything stand out for you guys in your own personal experience?
I got to talk to Chris Evans.
Oh, yeah.
He was super attractive and really nice. And Evangeline Lilly, who is a sweetheart. That was fun.
Talking to the Gotham cast was interesting.
With 5 minutes preparation time.
Yeah. It was a good con.
It was.
Yes, I have one to compare it to, which I also enjoyed.
Yeah. That was my seventh Comic-Con.
You are so old. Oh, my God.
Yes.
So we also wanted to plug, make sure to check out reviews of the pilots. We saw a bunch of pilots, including The Flash, Constantine, Gotham, and we also saw The Maze Runner. So all of our reviews are on Hyperbole.
Hyperbole. You have to go to that URL.
We should buy that one.
Hyperbole. So, in some TV news, Peter Capaldi, I just wanted to mention briefly, his Doctor in Doctor Who Series 8 is going to be very different than the one you fell in love with, Matt Smith's and David Tennant's versions of the Doctor. He says it's not boyfriend material. Kyle, are you looking forward to Peter Capaldi as a doctor?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because
not boyfriend material.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the best thing about his doctor. Is just it's because it's going back to its Doctor Who's roots. You know, mm-hmm. it's like it started off with this older man stealing a TARDIS, and now we have this older guy now who doesn't have. We don't have to worry about him flirting with his companions anymore, or like being super ridiculous and kissing everyone. So it's gonna be, oh my goodness, it's gonna be really great.
What just happened in your room?
He just became a vampire.
Really,
my timer just went off for my lights. They all just went off.
Oh, you have a light timer. That's
yeah, my bad.
Kyle controls his lights from an app on his phone. It's pretty funny. I'm not even kidding.
His brain. Yep. Should turn on lights.
Yep. Now they're on.
Yeah. Stop plugging it, unless you're getting paid.
All right, so.
It looks. It's going to be really great. Yeah.
Premieres August 23rd, and we're going to do a whole Doctor Who week on Hypeable.
Yeah, we are. We're going to do Who week, and it's going to be really fun. And it's going to start on the 15th of August, cool. Which is next week. So look out for lots of fun things happening on Hypeable with all the Doctor Who nerds, and it's going to be great.
In other TV news, Teen Wolf was renewed for season 5. Thank God. That totally wasn't going to happen.
Hey, well, like,
that was a nail biter.
We're worried because it was starting to suck for a little bit. Now it's getting good.
Well, hopefully season 5 is good.
Yeah. Right.
And also wanted to mention that right now on Hypeable, the poll is still kind of an open-ended poll. We want to know what shows you want us to cover this fall because there's a bunch of new shows. And we're looking to cover them. I see in this poll, Agent Carter is taking, well, actually, it's not taking the lead. Outlander is taking the lead with 42%. So we're definitely covering Outlander. Agent Carter, that's the new Marvel show starring a woman.
Woo!
That's going to be happening.
It's going to be so good!
Gotham on Fox, that's the Batman spinoff. I think we'll be covering that. How to Get Away with Murder, that's the new Shonda Rhimes show. We got to cover that. We cover the other two Shonda Rhimes shows.
That looks good, actually.
You know, there's this new show on ABC called Selfie with Karen Gillan.
Mm. That looks terrible.
It looks so bad.
Yeah. I can't believe, like, they would name a show Selfie. Oh, my God.
Her American accent is so bad.
I don't understand why they tell people who are from the UK and famous for being from UK productions to go, okay, now be American.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, Hugh Laurie, who played House for $1 million, famous in the UK.
Yeah, but that's fine,
but only cast them if they can actually do the accent, which she can't. Like, she sounds like me when I do a fake American accent. In fact, I think mine sounds better. She sounds terrible. That show is
how underused was she in Guardians of the Galaxy? God, I was expecting so much more from her.
Oh yeah.
They had like a golden nugget and they just dropped it.
And they're like, no.
And so we have a bunch of shows here. So if you go to Hypeable and search for what should we cover, or you know, just Google Hypeable, what should we cover, do the poll there. And let us know. Maybe we'll pick up
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine? You think you should cover
that? Yeah, that's what I'm campaigning for. Oh, yeah, it's so funny. It's so good.
People love that show.
Yeah.
Did anyone a Golden Globe?
Outlander, though.
Yeah. Outlander has guys in kilts. Come on. You're not going to beat it.
Yeah.
People, there's already a huge fan base for Outlander.
Outlander is gigantic. It's insane.
It's going to be huge.
Well, because it helped that Starz released the pilot on their website for free like a week ago or like over a week ago, I think. And I'd watched it and I had no idea what to expect, and it's amazing. It's really well done.
It is based on a book, by the way, a book series, so.
Yeah, which has a huge fan base too.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that is Hype episode 31/32. Our 32nd episode, but the 31st one that you're hearing. As always, you can go into the article announcing this podcast to sound off about the episode, complain about what or who you didn't like on today's episode, and, you know, leave some feedback. Maybe we'll talk about it on episode 33. And if you're listening to this podcast, we are doing a video version now. You can watch it on Hypeable on this particular on the podcast episode page. You can also go to YouTube, search for Hypeable's Hype, and you can find our YouTube channel and watch it on here. On there, we got some good feedback about our first video episode. So I want to continue doing this. It's fun to look at everybody's faces.
I hate looking at Andrew.
What? One of the commenters said, "I take you guys a lot more seriously now that I'm watching your faces."
What does that mean?
I guess that's good feedback. I think they took us as a joke.
What did you think we were doing before?
Apparently we're a lot more convincing now that we're actually proving that we're physical beings.
Well, I do have glasses, so that's pretty serious.
We could have all been robots.
We could have all been robots.
I have a Darth Vader bro hat on because I was like, in the morning.
I could never see the top. I was like, that's a stupid hat. And now it looks awesome.
And on the back, it says Vader.
Nice.
I got it at Comic-Con.
And from wore the, Lucas it every day.
Party. No, at the end. At the end.
Uh-huh.
Now my hair is messed up underneath. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time for episode 32. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Later.